This week on Three Ring Radio, I edited down a DVD documentary that was sent to me from the lovely Lizzie Borden of Extreme Associates. Check out that website, extremeassociates.com. But on a serious note, this documentary really upset me so much, I thought I would interrupt my basically my infomercials for Satan's Rock and 666 Eve to get back to my political ways and play this documentary. And I guess it serves two purposes, because Lizzie Borden and Rob Black will be our special guests at Satan's Rock and 666 Eve. Extreme Associates and Lizzie Borden are planning a contest. So they'll be doing a what's the wickedest thing you'd do for Satan on stage right before Society One gets on stage to ring in the 666 satanic millennium. And you're going to win an extreme lap dance from one of the girls on the Extreme Associates website. And let me tell you, that's just not like a lap dance from a strip club or anything. This is from the girls from Extreme Associates. So, I mean, they're up on 10 counts of obscenity. So you might be the 11th count of obscenity. This is going to be an obscene, technically, it will be an extreme obscene lap dance that you could win June 5th at Zen Sushi in Los Angeles. Check out Radio Free Satan for more details. RadioFreeSatan.com for more details on Satan's Rock and 666 Eve. It's going to be one hell of a time. And this documentary, as most of my regular listeners will know, almost brought me to tears. So I hope you'll stay tuned for the full hour of Three Ring Radio. And I hope you enjoy the songs I spliced in as well.
In November 2000, 15 million evangelical Christians went to polling stations across America. Almost all of them voted for George W. Bush.
The office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
The nation's 43rd president sworn in.
The new president rewarded his evangelical supporters by appointing one of their heroes, former Senator John Ashcroft, to the position of Attorney General. A born-again Christian, Ashcroft had wanted to ban birth control methods like the pill, to ditch legislation protecting minorities against hate crimes, and to outlaw abortion, even in cases of rape and incest.
I am personally opposed to abortion. But as I have explained this afternoon, I well understand that the role of Attorney General is to enforce the law as it is, not as I would have it.
Women must decide our fate, not the church, not the state.
Liberal Americans looked on in helpless fury, convinced that John Ashcroft would try to replace their freedoms with his biblical morality. Now they fear they're about to be proved right. As Ashcroft anticipates his second term in office, he's preparing to launch an all-out war on America's $10 billion porn industry. His critics claim it will erode civil liberties and is proof that the Christian right intends to subject America to religious tyranny.
The religious right virtually controls the Republican Party. In some ways, the Republican Party is just a branch of the religious right.
This is like the war on terrorism. We can't afford to lose it. You know, our future as a civil society is at stake.
How can you send someone to prison for making a movie? And that's what it comes down to.
San Fernando, California. This is the front line in John Ashcroft's new war. Here, just a few miles from Hollywood's legendary studios, a small cluster of companies produces more than 80% of America's pornography. The most notorious is Extreme Associates.
All right, well, I don't want to say that if it's not true.
Run by Rob Black, it produces some of the most hardcore and subversive pornography in America. In August 2003, Rob Black became the first San Fernando pornographer to be indicted by the federal government in more than a decade. If convicted, he faces a maximum jail term of 50 years.
Thanks, Al. Bye. What's the things that I gotta do?
They had to go after me first, because I had the biggest mouth. You can't start a war on pornography and wage the war unless you go after the person that is defying you the most.
In the autumn of 2002, federal agents based in Pittsburgh launched a sting operation against Extreme Associates, ordering five of Rob Black's movies over the internet. By the time the tapes arrived in Pittsburgh, they had crossed state boundaries. This exposed Rob Black to federal rather than local charges of distributing obscene material.
Well, what we have here is our warehouse, which houses all of our dirty, filthy pornography. We got rows of VHS are over on that side, and DVDs are down on here, and all that good stuff. Right here is the Federal 5. So it's nicely packaged. This is the Federal 5 on VHS. You can get the Federal 5 also on DVD. But these are the five tapes that could put me in jail forever. 50 years, which is ever. But yeah, this is it. I mean, we sell the hell out of them.
The Federal 5 include rape fantasies, women eating vomit and dog food, and actresses made up as teenagers having sex with older men. If Rob Black is acquitted, it will be almost impossible for John Ashcroft to prosecute other, less offensive pornographers.
This administration has one chance. I'm the one shot. It's like the big heavyweight fight. I'm like Mike Tyson in his prime. And they're like the fucking, you know, the lucky jerk off who's getting the sacrificial, you know, payday to go out there. They got one shot. They can catch me with a good shot and I go down, then, you know, then it's bank from across the board. Because they won't have to go to trial with other companies. They'll just indict them, and these companies will plead. They'll plea bargain. What do I got to do to make it go away? All right, you do 18 months, you pay $2 million. You do, 14 months, you pay $1 million. That's all the people will do. So they got one shot. But if we win, which we will, they're fucked.
Rob Black grew up as Robert Zachary in Rochester, a mid-sized town west of New York. His father ran a chain of adult bookshops, which the local police often raided when Rob was a child. After dropping out of college, Rob went to work in the family business.
I was raised in this, you know what I'm saying? I didn't have, like, the Cinderella childhood, but I had a good, I got what I wanted. I mean, I was spoiled and all that bullshit. I went to Catholic school and, you know, but this is the only thing I ever knew was the sex business.
we are facing a great cultural divide in America over morality. What maybe the Republican Party would stand for instance, in the area of abortion rights or gay marriage or any number of social issues like that, they tend to come out on the more conservative side. So I think that's what probably tilts a lot of conservative Christians towards that side of the political spectrum. We believe that probably the abandonment of Christian values is really pointing towards serious moral decline and social decline in our land.
He said, I'm the light of the world. Now, light's dangerous because it can expose things. It'll expose your...
Many conservative Christians believe that the only way to reverse this decline is for the church to become directly involved in the dirty business of politics.
I believe that people who have been born again, evangelicals in political office, have a responsibility, if they're going to stay true to their own hearts, to live out the implications of their moral convictions.
Our country was based on religion and based on God, and it gives us a tremendous pride to be an American.
Roberta Combs leads America's Christian Coalition, one of the most powerful lobbying groups in Washington. She claims to have the support of 2 million registered voters, all dedicated to fighting for their vision of a wholesome America.
I mean, the farmlands and the, you know, the Midwest and the South and the mom and dads that go to work every day and the country stores and people that go to church and, you know, the people that are proud to be here. And I think that's what America's about. So this has resonated all across America with pastors because they see it. They see our...
4 years ago, Roberta did as much as anyone to swing the election in favor of George W. Bush. Her coalition sent out 70 million pamphlets that scored the candidates' records on what she describes as family issues.
So when you look at our voter guides, it's, and it's very revealing because it tells the facts. So then you make your own mind up.
5 million of these voter guides went to Florida, where the election was decided by less than 600 votes.
So is that good?
The separation of church and state is a uniquely American idea. The notion is that there should be a decent distance between the institutions of government and those of religion.
The pastors are now starting to get more involved than ever. And I think the reason they're doing that is because they see what's getting ready to happen. I think they realize that this election is so critical.
This year, we find even the Bush-Cheney re-election campaign is targeting churches and specific churchgoers in specific churches to turn those churches into the locus for campaign rallies for the president, distribution of campaign literature for the president, which, among other things, is illegal in the United States. But this campaign doesn't seem to worry about that.
Putin under God.
Roberta and many of her followers believe America's problems stem from a breakdown in family values. In response to their pressure, George Bush announced that he would amend the Constitution to outlaw gay marriage.
Some people feel like it's almost a losing battle to fight some of the moral issues that you see these days. But it's so important to have an effort and a push. And
many conservative Christians believe that America's moral decline can be traced back to the permissive values of the 1960s. They look back with nostalgia to a time before the onset of this spiritual decay.
When I was growing up, we had safe neighborhoods. We didn't have to lock our door at night. You know, your word was your word. People cared. They were proud to be Americans. They cared about one another. Neighbors knew who their neighbors were. It was a different environment than it is now.
This is a person who has this sort of idealized image of America, probably from the 1950s, that they have held up as a model. This is not a person who thinks about what it was like to be an African American in the 1950s. This is not a person who thinks about what it must have been like to live in the closet as a gay person in the 1950s. This is a person who has this sort of mythology of America that they really cling to, and they're bothered by the state of society today, and they want to roll it back to this idealized time that really never existed.
That's why the Christian Coalition is so important, because, you know, like she was saying earlier, we're doing this late, let's take back America, and it really is, let's take back America. You know, let's take it back to where it used to be, and she came up with that idea, and we've gotten thousands of people to sign petitions because I think America's ready for that. You know.
For many Christians, John Ashcroft's appointment was the first step on the long road to moral recovery. They believe his war on porn is long overdue, a crusade to lead their nation back to a more innocent age.
Most of the people that are super Bible thumpers like that are people that have fucked up their lives so much, and that's when they turn it over to God. When the fun has gotten out of hand, and they have no control over themselves, they substitute one addiction for another, and now that new addiction is religion.
America's most famous former addict is President George W. Bush. For years, he was dogged by rumors of heavy drinking and cocaine use, until he declared in 1985 that he was ready to commit his life to Jesus.
President Bush has indeed made a definite profession of having met Christ personally, having come free from trouble with alcohol and all of that. I personally feel confident that if he's genuine about his Christian faith, that he will be qualified to help influence things in the direction that I think we need to go in America.
Bush is not larger than life. He's just some flunky who happened to get lucky and just steal an election. And it's painfully obvious that he don't know what the fuck he's doing. I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing. He absolutely has no idea what he's doing. It's like giving keys to your retarded brother who doesn't know how to drive yet, and saying, here, go drive down the street and get me some milk. And, you know, if he makes it back, you got lucky. Anybody's going to preach scripture to you and tell you that you're going to burn in hell if you don't do it this way by the little invisible man in the sky they're just gone. They're out there. They're nuts. Crazy.
Will proceed proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
Rejected organized religion, his Puritan lifestyle would find approval with many evangelicals. He doesn't drink or smoke, and rarely mixes with people outside his immediate circle, preferring to spend time at home with his wife.
I'm not fun. I don't go out. I don't go partying. I don't do shit like that. I think you're supposed to
put oil in it.
Rob and Janet have been together since 1997. In that time, the longest they've been apart is 2 weeks.
You know Mom Brando died?
Yes, I saw him on AOL.
We're together 24/7. He was like my best friend, and I'm his best friend.
Is he still fat when he died?
Yeah, he's fucking huge.
He's like my life. He's my soul. He's my partner. He makes me happy.
Hey, where'd you get this girl at, man? Hey, where'd you get this chick?
She came into my office.
Yeah?
Got big natural tits. A little chunky in the ass, but I think we could do something with it.
Janet stopped performing shortly after she met Rob and embarked on a career behind the camera.
Do what I say, I won't hurt you, right? Oh,
it was Janet who directed Forced Entry, the most notorious of the Federal Five. She was indicted alongside Rob and also faces a maximum sentence of 50 years.
Before me, there was really no girls shooting rough sex. So when I first started directing all my movies, people were like, there's no way a chick did this. They thought Rob did all my stuff. And I'm like, no. And Rob would be like, no, because she even grosses me out.
Today, Janet has given herself a bit part in her new movie, Taste That Ass. During the shoot, she will adopt the persona of Lizzie Borden, a notorious axe murderer. Being made up is an important part of getting into character.
When you look like this, we have nothing. You're very naked and very bare, so like you're kind of like shy and like I'm not in character. I'm totally Janet. But when she gets done with my makeup, I become Lizzie Borden. So it's almost like I have split personality.
Robin Janet's defense will be based on the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which guarantees its citizens the right to free speech.
Oh, here comes water.
In 1952, the Supreme Court ruled that the First Amendment applied to movies.
I think it is un-American to attack free speech. Yeah, I think that censorship is really a true cancer to free society. If you don't like it, tell people you don't like it. Tell people not to view it, not to see it. But don't say, because I don't like what you said, that you should be labeled a criminal.
But the First Amendment does not protect speech that has been defined as obscene. Robin Janet's fate will rest on the jury's application of a 30-year-old Supreme Court ruling known as the Miller Test. The test has three parts. First, the jury must decide whether the material appeals to a prurient interest in sex when judged by contemporary community standards. Second, the work must depict patently offensive sexual activity. Finally, the jury must decide objectively whether the film lacks serious literary, political, or artistic value. If a film fails all three parts of the test, the First Amendment will offer no protection.
It's not about the First Amendment. This is about doing whatever it takes to get rich. And so these people will do anything. On a gut level, it makes me sick. It is the most degrading material to women, and it appeals to the basest nature of man. Women are valued by their body parts, if they're valued at all, in pornography. And quite commonly, they're referred to as bitches, sluts, and whores. If they think long and hard about the videos named in the indictment and the content of that going before a jury, I think they'd be far better off to accept a plea.
Fuck, if they really wanted to, like, shove it up my ass, cop a plea, and then they charge you a year later. Now you already got one strike on you. So, nah, you can't cop a plea. You gotta roll the dice and fight it. Fight it, fight it, fight it.
Out if you can. can't resist. Maybe you don't give a shit for the rest of us, but if you do, the time is now, if it ever was. If you're gonna fight, what you gonna do? Jump the fuck up! Live your life by. And if you're gonna quit, I don't give a shit. What the fuck, I'm a Mack truck. Are you gonna give up like a bitch? Or shut the fuck up.
Walking in the streets and looking at this shit, I'm full of hate, don't fuck with me. Walking in the streets and looking at this shit, open up your eyes and fucking see. We got the drive against society, we got to fight the real enemy. Get the fuck up, stand the fuck up, what the fuck up.
Spare me yet. I don't know your goddamn thing. This life is never at the sweat. I don't wanna be immortal or legend or anything. Get the longer I'm alive, the better off you'll be. Get ready for a bit of me. Come on, a bit of me. Will you kill me if I say please? I'm a dame on reasons. Never try, what the hell. Beat to death with a shovel and a new smell. Come and get me, mama never let me do it. I'm ruined, I don't want anything from you. Cause I've got nothing left to prove. Come on, my time, everything feels fine. Goodbye, get from the inside.
Radio Free Satan wants you to join us June 5th in Los Angeles, California for Satan's Rockin' 666 Eve, featuring the evilest music, the most extreme porn stars, punk rock, serial killer art, suspension acts, bondage displays, and even members of the Church of Satan. Monday, June 5th, 8 p.m., ages 18 and over, tickets are $9. This is all going down at Zen Sushi, 2609 Hyperion Avenue in Los Angeles, California. Go to RadioFreeSatan.com for more information on how to buy tickets, or check us out on MySpace at MySpace/RadioFreeSatan. And remember, each paid admission gets a free Radio Free Satan 6th Anniversary compilation CD, a free shot glass, courtesy of EvilNow.com, and a whole bunch more. Don't miss out, Los Angeles. June 5th, Satan's Rockin' 666 Eve.
Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law.
Hail Satan!
We believe that
as a people living in the United States, it is our responsibility to resist the injustices done by our government in our names. Not in our name will you wage endless war. There can be no more deaths, no more transfusions of blood for oil. Countries, bomb civilians, kill more children, letting history take its course over the graves of the nameless. Not in our names will you erode the very freedoms you have claimed to fight for. Not by our hands will we supply weapons and funding for the annihilation of families on foreign soil. Not by our mouths will we let fear silence us. Not by our hearts will we allow whole peoples or countries to be deemed evil. Not by our will. Undercome attack for voicing opposition to the war or for their religion or ethnicity. We pledge to make common cause with the people of the world to bring about justice, freedom, and peace. Another world is possible, and we pledge to make it real. Real, real, real. Make it real. Make it real.
All decks go to full alert. Fire photon torpedoes. Fire all phases. Alert. Red alert.
The punishment is death.
All right, Bones, in the language of the planet, what's your beat? All decks go to full alert.
Some might call this a good record. I call it a good start.
The pledge to resist. We believe that as a people living in the United States, it is our responsibility to resist the injustices done by our government in our names. Not in our name will you wage endless war. There can be no more deaths. No more transfusions of blood for oil. Not in our name will you invade countries, bomb civilians, kill more children, letting history take its course over the graves of the nameless. Not in our names will you erode the very freedoms you have claimed to fight for. Not by our hands will we supply weapons and funding for the annihilation of families on foreign soil. Not by our mouths will we let fear silence us. Not by our hearts will we allow whole peoples or countries to be deemed evil. Not by our will and not in our name. We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war or for their religion or ethnicity. We pledge to make common cause with the people of the world to bring about justice, freedom, and peace. Another world is possible, and we pledge to make it real. Real, real, real. Make it real.
I consider, you know, Rob to, and Janet to really be heroes because they're willing to take on that battle. And whether they win or lose, they had the guts and they had the willingness to fight the fight.
While Rob and Janet have been forced to spend tens of thousands of dollars fighting the case, the rest of the industry has looked on in fear, wondering who will be indicted next.
The message is being sent to the industry. We're not just going after Zachary and this extreme stuff. If you produce and distribute material that meets the Miller test and it's hardcore, penetration clearly visible, you make yourself a target.
The 21st century may well mark the beginning of the end times. This is the period predicted in the book of Revelations that precedes the return of Jesus and the end of human life on earth.
Living in the end times is living in with the awareness that Jesus will return to our world someday and could return at any time. And it gives, and there is a sense when we look at all of the things in the Bible that predict what the world will be like soon before Jesus comes, there is a sense that we are coming close to that. Jesus said that my message of the gospel, that you can have a personal relationship with me through what I did on the cross, that message of Christ will go to every nation. And I think we now are the first generations in Christian history that could say that that is, if we're under 50, that's a viable possibility in our lifetime, that all the final language groups and unreached groups can hear about who Jesus is. Then Jesus said the end will come.
The book of Revelations also predicts that the return of Jesus will coincide with an apocalyptic war in the Holy Land. The forces of evil will be vanquished, and every human being will stand before God's judgment.
We believe in evil, and we believe that God has reserved hell for evil or people who don't want to accept Christ. The other thing the Bible constantly talks about when it comes to living in light of the end times is that we ought to keep our own lives free from what the Bible calls worldliness or being addicted to the sins of our world. We believe that all of us stand in need of forgiveness and that sin separates us from God and that every human being is guilty of that sin.
The need to purge the world of sin during the end times has added a sense of urgency to John Ashcroft's war on porn. His zeal has prompted critics to suggest that he has greater respect for the teachings of the Bible than for the laws of the United States.
What is it that gives you a sense of what is right and what is wrong, and therefore what needs to be translated into law and legislation?
You don't need to be a pastor to be a minister. We believe this room is full of ministers. We believe God has called every person to be a minister. God has given every person destiny. God has designed.
I think an elected political official has a sense of morality, and that morality cannot help but inform the direction they want public policy to go, because we're facing a lot of moral issues in the legislative arena.
He's called you for purpose. Maybe in one person's life, some of you God may raise up to affect millions of people's lives. That's up to God.
But people who believe they have a pipeline to God and that God has told them what is right and wrong, what is good and evil, are people with such self-assurance that they're happy to impose their values and their ideas on everyone.
We are prosecuting for the first time in a number of years adult obscenity as well as child pornography. And while we are being successful, I must say that there is a tremendous volume that we are not yet able to address. But we are in the process of moving forward.
John Ashcroft's war on porn has been hindered by the fact that even the Attorney General has to work within the law.
68 into the world war. 70. A breath out of the war. That was confusing because of my age. Shut my eyes open for two more escapes. I can't help the way I am. There's no trust and there's no end. What is my name?
Well,
It's maddening. The Supreme Court oftentimes doesn't get the attention that it ought to get. But for better or for worse, that is the body that's going to decide the legality of abortion. That's the body that's going to decide if censorship is permissible or not. That's the body that's going to decide whether we have religious activity in our public school system. That's the body that probably will decide a lot of gay rights issues.
Here in Washington, 9 Supreme Court judges hand down rulings that establish legal precedent and resonate across America. A judge remains on the court until they choose to retire. At least one aging liberal is likely to step down during the next presidential term. His replacement will be appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. If President Bush is re-elected and the Senate remains in the hands of the Republicans, there will be nothing to stop him loading the court with judges from the ranks of the religious right.
Given the situation regarding the U.S. Supreme Court being so precariously divided, being in a position where, due to the age of some of the justices, we probably are going to see retirements during the next 4 years, that is a very, very important issue that people need to be aware of. There's a myth in this country that the Supreme Court is reluctant to overturn its previous rulings. That's nonsense. They do it all the time if they get the chance. If you can pack the court, as some would like to do, they will overturn Roe v. Wade, which is the case establishing legal abortion. They will overturn those school prayer rulings from the 1960s, and they'll do it without even thinking twice. There is a mindset among the religious right that the nation has been stolen from them. Now, part of this is due to the fact that they have constructed an entirely new history for this nation. We basically rewrote everything. We came up with this new history that argues that the United States was founded to be a Christian nation, and that at some point that was taken from them. Now, obviously, from a historical perspective, you know, they're full of it. If you read the Constitution, there's nothing in there anywhere that mentions Jesus Christ, Christianity, or implies that any religion will receive any type of preference.
Article 6 of America's Constitution specifically states that there should never be a religious test for the right to hold office. The intention was to prevent a single majority religion from dominating the nation's politics. A century after it was drafted, British Prime Minister William Gladstone would describe the Constitution as the most wonderful work ever struck off at a given time by the brain and purpose of man.
I like you. I love my Lord and Savior. I love my country. And I can also say that without the freedom to speak freely and to preach freely in the pulpits of America, America is in deep, deep moral decay. The preachers must be able to speak.
It's frustrating to me as someone who likes to read history just as a layman to see how far we have strayed sometimes from the intents and the desires of our founders. I think our founders really look forward to a day when there would be true religious diversity in this country. And some of them even look forward to the day when that diversity would include those who are skeptical of religion. And we just aren't there yet.
And because of the assault on morality, on the basic values of America based on Judeo-Christian principles, this is my final statement. God, please. Save America. Thank you.
The religious right don't think there's anything wrong with the way the Taliban ran Afghanistan, except it was the wrong religion. That's exactly what they want to do in the United States, and they are, in many ways, just a hair's breadth away from achieving that.
For Rob Black, facing a lifetime behind bars, their decision goes beyond issues of moral choice. For him, it represents the best hope of freedom.
Nobody, no political office or religious office, nobody has a right to try to regulate morality. We've never had a government ran with such disregard for the law, disregard for human rights, and disregard for just so many people that it's important that when it's time to cast that vote, to cast Bush out of there.
A mile from the Capitol building, is a memorial to Thomas Jefferson, the author of America's Declaration of Independence. In 1801, Jefferson became the third president of the United States. A religious man in private life, his political opponents smeared him during the election campaign, accusing him of being anti-Christian. Angered by the attacks of the clergy, he later wrote, "In every country and in every age, the priest has been hostile to liberty. He is always in alliance with the despot, abetting his abuses in return for protection to his own."
This eagle's place is in the sky. She's still got a lot of flying to do. You can see it in her eye, though she's cried a bit for what we've put her through. She soared above the lifted lamp that guards sweet freedom's door, in the dews that damps the watchfires of a nation torn by war. Oh, she's far too young to die. You can see it in her eye. She's not yet begun to fly. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar once more. Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden shore, let the mighty soar, soar with healing in her wings, as the land beneath her sings. Only God, no other kings. Let the mighty eagle soar. This country's far too young to die. She's still got a lot of climbing to do. And we can make it if we try.
I'm an American.
Built by toys.
I'm an American.
I am American.
I'm an American.
I'm an American.
So am I.
I am an American.
I am American human.
I am an American.
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 I am an American citizen.
I'm an American.
I am an American.
I'm an American.
I'm American.
I'm an American.
I am an American.
Piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. Piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit.
Hey, motherfuckers, you listen to Three Ring Radio, so fuck you.